great opportunity to grow. Psalm 103 this morning, we just sang verse 1 together. And verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And that's my title today, his benefits. So let's look on through verse 3. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Today we talk about his benefits. Let's pray. Lord, how we love you, how we are so blessed to be able to meet as we hear about these Christians in other parts of the world, persecuted and even killed just for worshiping Jesus Christ, and how blessed we are to be able to assemble and open your word together and hear from the Holy Spirit without fear of such things. I pray we would not take that for granted, but Lord, we would understand how important it is that we be faithful. I pray you would use your word in our hearts today to teach us, to grow us, Lord, to make us that much more thankful for what we have in Christ. May you be glorified. May you be in control of our service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord, it says there in verse 1. "O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name." That word bless is very similar to the word worship. And God wants us to bless the Lord. We can't do it enough. Amen. We should do it in our prayer time. We should do it through the day as things happen throughout the day. It's okay to say praise the Lord, by the way. It's not charismatic to say that. It's okay to say God is good. It's okay to say hallelujah. We're to bless the Lord all the time with our soul, with our mouth. If you look in Revelation 5, God tells us that one of the reasons that we should be constantly blessing the Lord is because he's worthy of it. Amen? If it wasn't for Jesus, where would we be today? On our way to hell. But because of Jesus, we are on our way to heaven. We have his presence. We have his word. We have his promises. Notice Revelation 5:12. "Say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." The Lamb is worthy of our worship and praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. There's a verse in Psalm 150, the last verse in Psalms, actually. It says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Praise ye the Lord. Remember recently we studied where the disciples saw Jesus coming into Jerusalem in fulfillment of Scripture on what we call the triumphal entry. And the people were laying down the branches. And the Pharisees said, "You need to rebuke your disciples," as they were crying out, "Hosanna to God in the highest." And Jesus said, if I told my disciples to be quiet, even the stones would cry out. Let everything praise the Lord. We are here to praise the Lord. We're here to bless the Lord. In the second verse in our passage, Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." In this little passage, in these first five verses, I'm going to point out at least seven benefits of being a Christian. You know, we often, when you go to get a new job, one of the questions you ask is, "What are the benefits?" Well, let me tell you, there's nothing with greater benefits than being a Christian. And the unsaved need to understand this. We need to tell them the great news. Jesus has paid the price. He's risen from the dead, and he offers them eternal life. And with it comes an amazing list of benefits. But he says there, forget not. We're to be constantly remembering the goodness of the Lord, which should lead to us praising and worshiping him and blessing his name. You know, David said in Psalm 77, "I will remember the works of the Lord. I will remember thy wonders of old." In other words, I'm going to be constantly reminding myself and remembering all the great things that God has done for me. And we should be doing the same. Look at Psalm 68:19 quickly if you would, and then we'll walk through these seven benefits together. Psalm 68, verse 19, it says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah." So what are some of these benefits? Well, the first one is, for us, the most important, verse 3 of Psalm 103, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." We could stop right there and just praise the Lord for the rest of time, couldn't we? If it wasn't for Jesus, we wouldn't have forgiveness. And if it wasn't for forgiveness, we couldn't go to heaven. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. Look down in verse 10 of our psalm. And again, he talks about this great benefit of forgiveness. "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." If we got what we deserved, we'd all be going to hell. That's what we deserve. And look at verse 12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Aren't we so blessed to be forgiven? To be forgiven of our sins. Which, of course, is the heart of Christianity, is it not? Forgiveness. Look at Colossians 2:13, if you would. Keep your place here in Psalm 103. But go to Colossians 2:13. And here, I love this verse because it tells us exactly how many of our sins were forgiven. Colossians 2:13. "And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Isn't that beautiful? Even the ones you haven't committed yet. Try to get your head wrapped around that. He has forgiven you all trespasses. Not because we deserve forgiveness, but because of the merits of what Jesus did when he hung on that cross and became sin for us and said, "It is finished." God forgives all of our iniquities. And that is the first and one of the most beautiful benefits of being a Christian. Amen? Is forgiveness. Even as Christians, sometimes we get dirty. But then we have 1 John 1:9 to turn to, don't we? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That forgiveness is based on, again, his faithfulness. Number 2, verse 3, "Who healeth all thy diseases." A lot of people take passages like that and say that means God wants us to always be healthy. But that is not what he's talking about. Yes, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And yes, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. But that means we have been healed of our sin problem. We've been healed of this spiritual leprosy, which condemned us to hell. And of course, this healing will go on forever. Amen? We will always be healed of this condition. Look at Philippians 3:21. Keep your place in Psalm 103. Philippians 3:21, where the Bible talks about one day we will get a new body. Hallelujah. And the older we get, the louder we say hallelujah. Philippians 3:21, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." And when we read about the future in Revelation 21, it says, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Revelation 21:4, "There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." I love that phrase. No more pain in heaven. So God not only forgives us, but God promises us a day when we are completely healed of everything. But then he says, verse 4 of our passage, Psalm 103, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Now, of course, spiritually we understand that ultimate destruction is hell. It's even referred to destruction in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction." Hallelujah. But even as Christians, often we are threatened by attacks, by destruction. Not so much here in New Zealand, but look at these people in other countries. And, you know, a person could say, well, why does God allow them to die? Well, people have been dying for the name of Christ for 2,000 years. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. They just get to go to heaven quicker. Amen? And I'm not trying to endorse killing Christians, but what I'm saying is God knows what he's doing. And oftentimes when these persecutions happen, all it does is just make the church grow faster. It was true in the days of Jerusalem. Then they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. God had to get them out of Jerusalem. The only way he could do it was persecution. But God also promises here, even here on earth, that if we walk through the valley of shadow of death, we'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And the Bible even says, if it's God's will for us to go to heaven, we'll go to heaven. But if it's not, nothing can touch us. Look at Isaiah 54:17. I love this verse. In other words, God is in control. And if we have God's protection, which we do, which is our third benefit, then if it's not our time, it doesn't matter what the threat is. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt contemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. One of our heritages is God's protection, no matter what may come. So God has promised his forgiveness, his healing, and his protection. But then he goes on to say in Psalm 103:4, who crowneth thee with loving kindness. You know, we looked at that verse earlier about how we don't get what we deserve, even as Christians. If we got what we deserved based on our behavior day by day, we'd be in serious trouble, wouldn't we? If God wasn't a God of loving kindness. But he is a God of loving kindness. He's always kind. His kindness, accord, led to salvation, but the Bible says there in Ephesians 2:7 that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. David said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee in Psalm 63:3. Better than life. God is always kind to his children. Hallelujah. And again, if we got what we deserved, that would not be the case. We would be in trouble because we fail him so often. But even down in verse 10, talking about his loving kindness, he says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Hallelujah for that. Number 5, his mercies. Look at it. Psalm 103:4, his tender mercies. The longer we're saved, the more we appreciate God's mercy. He is called the Father of mercies in 2 Corinthians 1:3. In Hebrews 4:16, the Bible says, if we come to the throne of grace, we may obtain what? Mercy. And we always need mercy. Look at verse 8 of our psalm. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Look at verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting unto them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. We serve a merciful God. And praise God we do. And then number 6 is in verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. God promised that he would take care of his children. Look at Matthew chapter 6, if you would, and verse 31. He will meet our needs. Here Jesus is giving us this beautiful promise. Verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. And then, of course, verse 33, one of our scripture songs, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. These things, our needs, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. David said, we need to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth, he said. And we need to thank God for his amazing benefits of forgiveness, of healing, of protection, and loving kindness and mercy and meeting our needs. But lastly, verse 5 of our passage, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. God promises strength. I don't know about you, but every day we need strength from God. Amen? We love Philippians 4:13, don't we? I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. Where does our strength come from? It comes from God. It comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. He says down in verse 14, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Well, of course he does, because he made us from dust, didn't he? And he remembers that we're weak. He remembers that we're frail. And that we're just dust turned into something alive. But he says that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Look at Isaiah 41:10, if you would. But God always promises to be there and give us the strength when we need it. Isaiah 41, verse 10. The Bible says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will strengthen thee and I will help thee. This is God's promise to his children. So we need to be praising God more. Like I said, that last verse in Psalms is a big book, isn't it? Biggest book in the Bible. And the last verse, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. We need to be thanking God for his benefits. Like David, we need to be remembering them. And yes, we're going to have trials. They're part of God's plan for us. They're God's will. Yes, we're going to have persecutions. We're going to have struggles. But that doesn't mean we should ever, ever stop blessing the Lord or ever stop remembering his benefits. That's what it says there. It says there in verse 2, forget not. Let's face it, when trials come, we're tempted to forget, aren't we? How good God is. All these benefits that he pours out upon us. When the trials come, we're tempted to, oh, is God really good? Yes, he is. He forgives, he heals, he protects, he is kind and merciful. He's promised to meet our needs and to give us the strength that we need to serve him. And that's just a sampling, isn't it? We could go on all day talking about his benefits. But God says, forget them not. And while you're not forgetting them, what are we supposed to be doing? But blessing the Lord, worshiping the Lord. All, and did you notice verse 1? All that is within me, everything that I am, my heart, soul, mind, and strength, with all of that, I need to be constantly blessing the Lord. Worship needs to be such a huge part of our lives. Not just when we come to church on Sunday, but when we are on our knees in our prayer time. Even as we're going through the day, we need to be saying, praise the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. However you want to praise the Lord, you need to just keep praising the Lord. So what a beautiful truth. What a simple truth and yet a profound thing that we need to be making sure is a big part of our Christian walk, that we bless the Lord and forget not all of his benefits. At least 7 in this passage. The Bible's filled with who knows how many hundreds more. But bless the Lord. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for your precious word. And I do pray that it would be our desire that your praise would be continually in our mouths, Lord, that we'd be constantly lifting you up. And Lord, even when the trials and tough times come, May we not forget your benefits. But may we be constantly remembering them. And Lord, I pray that praise would become so natural for us, no matter where we find ourselves, that it would just be a way of life. Please make this true for us, Lord. Speak to our hearts and continue to speak to our hearts as we sing the invitation together and on throughout the week. And Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, I pray they'll realize they must be born again if they want to see heaven and they would be saved today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name.